Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Eric Osnes from Home Street Bank.
I'm Reba Haas from Team Reba.
All right. Sounds like you're losing your voice there a little bit.
I'm trying not to. I'm working hard at it.
Not long to go. This is a live call-in show. If you have a question for us, give us a ring at 866-712-1300.
Yeah, keep me from talking.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, we always like getting calls from people.
And yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, David.
Our producer says my job is to keep you from talking. So,
well, you do a good job sometimes, especially when you start talking about lutefisk.
Yeah.
And well, don't go there.
I wouldn't dare talk about lutefisk.
Thank you.
I would talk about lefse, which I'll be making next week.
Move on.
No problem. No problem. So TRID, the TILA RESPA Integrated Disclosure Rule is a new set of laws that came into effect the first part of October, and it's part of the Financial Reform Act, the Frank Dodd legislation that came out a few years ago. And TRID pretty much took our lending disclosure process and put it on its ear. In theory, it sounds fairly simple. There's two principal documents that come out that have replaced a whole bunch of other documents.
I love how you say it's supposed to be fairly simple.
Right. It's a government thing. So how simple can
really
it be, right?
That's a polite way of putting it when it's not.
Two simple documents, a loan estimate and a closing disclosure. So the loan estimate is your upfront estimate that gives you all your loan terms, your interest rate, your annual percentage rate, all the costs and fees associated with the loan. And then when we get to closing, there's what's called a closing disclosure, which has all the final settlement numbers and the final terms and everything of the loan. Well, there's timing rules that are now put into play. The first one is for the loan estimate. Once we send the loan estimate out, and that has to go out within 3 days of a person making application, we cannot close for 7 days once that loan estimate has been issued. And if there's any changes to the loan program throughout the process and we issue a new loan estimate, then we have another time frame waiting period that comes in after that.
Then it's a lot of hurry up and wait.
There's a lot of that. And then there's the closing disclosure, basically, we send that out to the customer. Then we have to wait a minimum of 3 days from when the customer signs that document before we'll let them sign their final closing documents or final closing paperwork. So all these issues are adding delays to the process. But, you know, we can deal with the timing of it. That part's fine. Where we're running into trouble as an industry right now is the roles of who's supposed to be preparing what have changed and have shifted.
Yep.
So in the past, it was always up to an escrow company or a title company to prepare the final, let's call it a closing disclosure. We used to call it a HUD-1 settlement statement.
Oh, yeah.
Now that role has shifted to the lender with cooperation from the escrow company. So we get the fees and the information from the escrow company, and then we put it on the document, then we send it to the escrow company, and they review it as well. Well, there's a lot of relearning of the roles, let's say. And across the industry, what we found after almost 2 months into this new process is that nobody really has a consistent set of policies and procedures out there yet and how to deal with each other. Every title company does it differently. Every escrow company does it differently.
Right.
Every lender does it differently. And so there's a lot of inconsistency in the roles and responsibilities. So it really falls upon someone in the process who is driving this thing and making sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing. Otherwise, you got an escrow company and a bank sitting there and each one's waiting for the other one to provide them documents and nothing's happening. So that's problem one. Problem two is that on the closing disclosure document, there's a section of it that compares the original loan estimate with the closing disclosure document, and it compares the numbers. Well, if the numbers from the original loan estimate have to transfer over to the closing disclosure, and they got to be exact, they've got to be right, they've got to be correct. Sounds real simple. The problem is that every lender uses different software, and some of that software is provided by third-party vendors, and that information is not always necessarily syncing up correctly. So we're running into discrepancies when we have differences between the lending, the original loan estimate and the closing disclosure. Some investors have a zero defect policy. And what that means is that if we find a mistake and the consumer's already signed the final closing disclosure, we're out of luck. We have to cancel the loan and start all over again. So we've got a situation where as people are learning their roles, it's becoming more and more complicated. And if we get something wrong, we got to start all over again. And it's going to cause significant delays.
Right. Well, that 2-week difference is huge.
Oh, it can.
Because everybody else, you're talking about just the lending side.
Right.
But the pain from my side.
Yeah, that's right.
Is not for the real estate folks.
Right. It's for the sellers on a transaction. We have everybody that's trying to relearn these roles and relearn their responsibilities with all of this. And we're running into issues of timing across the board. There's another issue that's coming up, and that the seller has to sign a new lending disclosure as well. And our buyer is not allowed to sign their disclosure until the seller signs their disclosure. So we've got all these rules and things that are coming up into play and causing us a very steep learning curve and some delays as we move on in the process. So we'll get through all of this, and as we kind of, everyone in the industry gets more and more experience with it, we'll get better. And also as we have better software and technology kind of become up to date and integrated with the process, we'll get better on it as well. We lost half of our crew in a wild coughing fit, but they're smiling at me, looking at me across the board. So I think we're probably all okay with all of that. While I'm waiting for Reba to come back with that, I want to talk a little bit also about some of our loan limits in other parts of the country. If you're looking at purchasing second homes or own property in other parts of the country, there's some areas where some home values have really increased significantly. One of the top ones on our list right now is Napa, California. Napa now has a loan limit of $625,000. We have right in behind it, Monterey County in California, Salinas, up to $529,000. San Diego County at $580,000, not too much above our local counties here at $540,000. Sonoma County in California, $554,000. A lot of, as you can kind of imagine, California's had some pretty good growth. Colorado has some good areas. The Denver, Aurora, Lakewood area is up around $458,000. And Jefferson County, same thing, around $458,000. In Massachusetts, that's one other area that's experienced some big growth. Essex County, Middlesex County, Norfolk, Plymouth, Suffolk, Rockingham, those are all around $523,000. So, and then I think where else we got? Tennessee, Nashville. Nashville area is up to $437,000.
Nashville is that high?
Nashville.
Yep. Wow.
Yep, they went up a little bit. They had about an 11.5% increase in their home values.
I did not realize they were that high.
Sure. Yeah, it's probably because of Britney Spears would be my guess.
What?
Wait, who else lives in Nashville? I don't know. That's the only,
not
Britney.
Spears,
excuse me.
In Nashville?
Taylor Swift. Excuse me. Taylor Swift.
Oh my
Swift.
God. Taylor left Nashville a long time
Did
ago,
she?
Buddy.
Well, that's I'm behind the times on that then, I guess.
Oh my
Fine.
God. Oh, you're gonna send me into another coughing fit.
That's why I'm here. Hey, I did do a good job of quieting you up, though. So all I had to do was talk
that
about
was
Trid.
So not.
It
no,
took the words right
exactly.
out of your mouth.
It just sucked all the life right
that's,
out of me.
That's right. That's right.
Well, no, I was going to tell you, because this was something that we discussed before we came on the air today, and why we wanted to discuss Trid specifically was because you're seeing it from the impact of the lending side and the hassles that are there. I'm seeing the sellers and buyers getting frustrated because it does put these delays in, and people are trying to live their lives
right.
while this is happening, right? This impacts people on a very personal level because they've got moving trucks, they've got all this other stuff, and we're trying to guide people left and right about don't put the pressure on yourself
right.
to have this be right away. I mean, I've had people that's like, do not ever have a moving truck scheduled for the day after you're closing, because there's almost inevitably you've jinxed yourself.
Right.
And you'll be the guy who it gets bumped into next week or 2 weeks. And then now you've got all these other hassles to deal with, because what are you going to do in the meantime? Do you have somewhere to go? Do you not? Can you stay? You know, there's a lot of questions.
Oh, there's nothing worse than something like that coming up. And as a lender, the last thing you know we ever want is for a transaction to not close on time. You know, we live and die by that. So,
well, we try and coach people to tell them, you know, that date is definitely our target. And most of the time we hit it, but you've got to be, you know, having your exit strategy through any of these things has to have a backup plan. Like, well, anything should have a backup plan. And I will tell you, this is not just impacting the closings, but it's impacting how the offers are being looked at.
Well, and speaking of plans, yeah, you're absolutely right on the offer side of it. You know, if you're planning on buying a home or selling a home, and your real estate agent is not asking you or talking about the closing date and the closing time frame, mm-hmm. Then that's a problem.
They're doing a disservice
yeah,
to you.
Yeah, it really is, because I deal with that all the time, and I always coach my buyers. You know, if I have pre-approved buyers, I'm like, please, 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 let's talk before you write that offer.
Yeah.
And let's set a realistic closing date.
Yeah.
Because even the type of financing you take out can impact the closing dates, especially with TRID. The more complex the loan, the longer it's going to take.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
And if we're dealing with a first-time buyer with zero down, and we're using a grant or a second mortgage to cover the mm-hmm. down payment, and we have a mortgage credit certificate, which is a tax credit thrown on top of it. We've added mm-hmm. multiple layers of complexity to the transaction, and every time you add a layer of complexity, it adds time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's true of most everything. So if you see it in other parts of your life, it's going to definitely be here and possibly compounded.
Yeah.
I will say, I'm going to go back to my point about it affecting offers. Our multiple offer situations are being impacted by this as well, because for those of us who have a lot of experience, and there's a lot of newbies in the business right now because everyone thinks they can make $1 million in it. But I was just part of 10 offers while I was on vacation that were competing for a client. And we were told the reason our offer, which was better, part of why we weren't picked was because it closed a week later.
Mm-hmm.
And we had picked 5 weeks. So
right.
I'm pretty sure whoever put 4 weeks had no idea what they were doing.
And they probably closed late, too.
They
under
will.
The new TRID
they just went
rules.
Under contract. So there you go.
Enough about TRID, but we'll be back talking more about real estate and mortgage on Open House with Team Reba.
Got a question? Call it in. 866-712-1300.